today as we come to the table.
God allows us to go through hard and sometimes even tragic times in order to get us where it is He wants us to be, to do what He wants us to do. And I think that's the hard part. I know for me, it's like, Lord, just do it. I don't want to go through hard times. I don't want to go through tragic times. I don't think anybody would go, I do, Pastor Mark. I enjoy tragic times. Let me go through hardship. I think every one of us would say that we hate it. And yet that's God's plan. That's how God molds and God shapes. You know the whole picture God gives us of the spinning wheel, you know, and the pottery as He shapes it. And He's got to change its form and its shape. And He has to shake it up in order to do that. That's what God does in our life.
Have you ever asked God to put you through hardship, pain, and struggle so that He can build you up? Of course not. Who would ever ask to be put through pain in life? However, if you're a runner or an athlete, you put yourself through pain as you train to be your best. God wants you to be the best disciple you can be. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will remind you to look at the difficult times in your life in a new light. Remember that God wants to refine you in the fire so that you come out pure. The fire won't feel good at all, but God's goal is to make you more like Jesus. Pain isn't God punishing you, it's Him making you better. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis chapter 39 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Let's open up our Bibles to Genesis chapter 39, as our goal is to do chapter 39 today. Now, let me just say in all honesty, there's a lot of stuff to cover today, so if we don't get it, that's all right. We're not going to rush it. We're going to do it, and if we get it, that's going to be great, but why don't we read through it, and then we'll go back and look at it more intimately. Notice it says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from an Ishmaelite who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. And then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. And so it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread that he ate. And Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he's committed all that he has to my hand. There's no one greater in the house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you're his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?' So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work and none of the men in the house were inside that she caught him by his garment saying, 'Lie with me.' But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside that she called to the men of the house and spoke to them saying, 'See, he has brought in this Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. And then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, 'The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. And so it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside.' And so it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, 'Your servant did to me after this manner,' that his anger was aroused. And then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in sight of the keeper of the prison, And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And God, what a powerful portion of scripture as we look at not only the character of Joseph and Joseph's faithfulness, Lord, to you, but also the steps that he took and that we need to take in order to be victorious over temptation. Lord, all of us in this room are going to face temptation, and maybe some of us even this morning have already faced temptation. But Lord, you tell us in your word that you will give us the power and have given us the power and the steps to overcome it. Lord, teach us today as we look at your word how we can be overcomers when it comes to temptation. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, all of us, as you know, will face temptations throughout our life. And if we don't learn how to properly handle them before they come along, then we're going to fail when they do. And see, here's what we need to grasp when it comes to temptation. We need to be prepared before the temptation comes, not wait until the temptation comes and then start worrying about how we can be prepared. And note this, we're going to be failures at temptation if we're not ready for it in advance, no matter how badly we want to do what is right. And understand this, it's not a matter of the will to do right, it's a matter of the power to do right and the understanding of how to do right. Remember what the Lord said to Peter. He said, Peter, your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. And what that means is we may have willing spirits today to obey the Lord, but if we don't understand what we need to do in order to make that happen, we're going to fail. And so my heart is to be able to pass on to you practical steps that will give you victory over sin, and we'll see those in the life of Joseph today. Now, in today's story, we're going to see that Joseph not only had to learn what God expected from him, or rather had learned it, Joseph had purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to sin against God. And when it comes to temptation, we have to have the same purpose of heart. Our first thing we need to do is purpose. God, I'm not going to, you know, disobey you. I want to follow you. And so Joseph had purposed in his heart, even as Daniel did when we see the story of Daniel, that he was going to follow the Lord. But however, we have to understand that just wanting to do this, again, is not going to be enough to do it. We have to know the steps to take in order to be able to make this happen practically. We focused in on Judah. And we saw his lack of character and his lack of integrity when it came to immorality, or rather his morals and matters of morality. We're going to see the exact opposite today in Joseph as he shows himself to be a man of integrity and a man of character. And again, it's something that we all need to strive for. And you know, when I read stories about these men like this, I oftentimes think, you know what, Lord, I look at this, I'm not a Joseph. You know, I'm not a Daniel. I want to be, but I'm not those men. Take heart if you're in that place. You know, like I am, because I say, God, I want to be. God says if we want that, God will transform us and he'll make us that way. So I don't want you to see a story like Joseph and Daniel and think, Lord, I could never be like these men because I'm not like these men. But to realize that, you know what? They weren't always that way. They had to submit to the Lord, and God had to do a work in their life to get them where they needed to be. And so we're going to see that there's hope in this for us as well if we simply do what it is God has called us to do. Now, I want to say as well, the story of Joseph would be tragic in many ways if we didn't know how it ended up. I mean, look at Joseph's life. He started out as kind of the golden boy in his family. You know, he was the one that was honored and had the position of authority and elevation. And he got sold as a slave into Egypt by his own brothers. And then now he's a slave down in Egypt. And after he's a slave down in Egypt, now we're going to find out today he gets thrown in prison on top of all of this. And if we didn't know that he ends up as the second most powerful ruler in Egypt, this would be a tragic story. But understand this, God allows us to go through hard and sometimes even tragic times in order to get us where it is he wants us to be, to do what he wants us to do. And I think that's the hard part. I know for me, it's like, Lord, just do it. I don't want to go through hard times. I don't want to go through tragic times. I don't think anybody would go, I do, Pastor Mark. I enjoy tragic times. Let me go through hardship. I think every one of us would say that we hate it. And yet that's God's plan. That's how God molds and God shapes. You know the whole picture God gives us of the spinning wheel, you know, and the pottery as he shapes it. And he's got to change its form and its shape. And he has to shake it up in order to do that. That's what God does in our life in order to work in us. And so God has to prepare us before he can give us what he's prepared for us. But it's also interesting to note about Joseph that in every situation Joseph found himself, and note this is amazing to me, no matter how terrible the situation, he purposed in his heart to trust God and to be the best he could be for God while there. Wow, that's amazing to me. You know, what we're going to see today, you know, rather than blame God and complain, he makes the best of each situation. When he becomes a slave with Potiphar, what does he do? He becomes the best slave he can be. It's like, if I'm going to be a slave, I'm going to be number one. I'm going to be the top slave that I can be. And then he gets thrown into prison. And again, by the way, both of these unjustly. The second one we're going to see gets thrown in prison. What does he do? I'm going to be the best prisoner that I can be. And I look at that, and Joseph amazes me in his character and integrity, because again, I have to look at myself and say, you know what? And if I'm in that situation, it would be tempting to grumble and complain and say, God, I thought you loved me. I thought your hand was with me. What's going on, Lord? And he just said, you know what, Lord? I know this situation looks bleak. I know this situation does not look good, but here's what I'm going to do. I purpose in my heart to do the best that I can in the midst of this situation. What an example for us to follow. And it's going to be this attitude that not only gets Joseph through all of these trials, but elevates him and has him promoted in every instance of his life where he finds himself in a difficult situation. No matter how unpleasant, he has the right attitude and he's rewarded for it. Well, notice verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. So now we see the story transition of Joseph taken, sold as a slave, now sent down to Egypt. And notice, this is amazing. Again, it's not really amazing when I understand our God, but in light of the story, notice verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. You're going to see this really as a signature of Joseph's life. The Lord was with Joseph. But again, what's amazing to me is this is not what I would expect in the natural realm or in my flesh for this to say. Joseph just got sold as a slave down into Egypt. And the Bible says, now the Lord was with Joseph. Now, what would you expect it to say? You know, again, I would expect it to say something like this. You know, Joseph was just sold into Egypt, and very obviously, the Lord was not with him. And so hence, he suffered greatly. Not the case. You see, the Bible says, no, he was sold down into Egypt, and the Lord was with him. What is the point? Guys, we have to realize that even in the midst of the hardest times, the Lord is with us. It doesn't mean that the Lord is not with us simply because we go through difficult times. And simply because we go through hard times. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so there are some, you know, who would say that, you know, if these kind of things happen in our life, God is not only not with us, but we have some sin in our life. You know, if you ever go through any suffering, if you ever go through any trial, it's because you have sin in your life. And you need to repent, because God desires that no Christian suffer and that no Christian go through hard times. Nonsense. And not only is it nonsense, it's unbiblical. And if we go through life expecting that, when we do have the trials and suffering, which we will have, what are we going to say about God? God, you're not being faithful to me. We're going to blame him, because we're going to realize that we don't have sin in our life. And that is what is so devastating about this type of teaching. You know, some will say that, you know, if we do this, that, you know, God has abandoned us, or else we have sin in our life. This is not the case. This is God's training program. This is God's boot camp. And so God will mold us and shape us and take us through these things to get us where we need to go. And so we need to remember that no matter how hard the times are, God is with us. The Lord is among us. And if we see these hard times as meaning that the Lord is not with us, we're not going to have the proper mindset. And we have to be prepared for that. No matter what is going on in our life, if we are the Lord's, he is at work and he is with us. Romans 8:28. You know that one of our favorite verses to love and hate. You know, all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. We love it when things are going good, and we hate it when things are going bad, because it makes us recognize God's at work, and yet sometimes it doesn't seem like it. Well, the Lord was with Joseph, and God was at work. And notice it says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. I love this. Potiphar could obviously see that God was working in Joseph's life. Why? Because of the attitude Joseph had. Now, what if Joseph had gone there and said, a slave, I hate this. Oh, I'll do it because I have to, and there'll be a whip across my back, but, oh, there's Potiphar, and, right? What did Joseph do? You know, his countenance must have been good. His countenance must have been, I'm here to serve. His countenance must have been one of a positive attitude. And when I look at that and think, man, what kind of man was Joseph? And I realized the example that God was giving us. And yet it was so much so that Potiphar saw it. Now, here's the question. When you're in a situation that you hate, can people see God in your life? I have to be honest and think, I don't know that people have always been able to see God in my life if I'm in a situation that I hate. It seems if I'm in a bad situation, people always say to me, what's wrong? What's wrong, Pastor Mark? How are you doing? You don't look like yourself today. There's nothing wrong. I'm not saying we have a fake countenance, you know, that we smile all the time and pretend that we feel great every moment. You know, our cat just got run over or whatever. It doesn't mean that we're always happy, you know. But the bottom line is that it does mean is that we need to have an attitude that we realize that God's on the throne. And people can see that the Lord is with us. And our attitude reflects that the Lord is with us. And then that our boss or those around us see it. You know, Potiphar saw it. You know, maybe you don't like your job this morning very much. What's your attitude at work? Would your boss say, I can see that the Lord is with you? Or would he say, wow, what a miserable employee. You hate really being here, don't you? Joseph was the type where he said, you know what? I can see God in your life. He was not a closet Christian. He lived in such a way that it was visible for all to see. And Potiphar saw it. It was a testimony. And notice it says, so Joseph found favor in his sight. I love this. And he served him. And then he made him overseer of his house. And all that he had was put under his authority. Now notice first it says that Joseph served him. He served Potiphar. And take note of this, because this is something we are going to see consistently throughout Joseph's life, is that no matter where Joseph finds himself, he's a servant. As a matter of fact, when Joseph gets put into leadership, guess what he is? A servant. He continues to serve Pharaoh. He continues to serve the people. He's a servant the entire time. And why is this important? Because we will see that from servanthood always comes promotion, and that will always be true of those who serve. Everywhere Joseph went, he purposed in his heart to be a servant, and because of that, he was elevated in that position. Now, you might say, well, you know, how glamorous is it to be elevated as top slave? I don't know. But he still made the best of his situation, didn't he? How glamorous is it to be elevated as top prisoner? I don't know, but Joseph was, because he had the right attitude and the right heart. And see, here's a biblical principle we need to understand. Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you've got to be the servant of all. And so we have to be the servant of all to be great in God's eyes. And that's exactly the opposite of how the world views greatness. The world says you want to be great, you get to a place where everyone serves you. But if you want to be great, no, not in God's kingdom. You want to be great in his kingdom. You have to be a servant to everyone else. Jesus, as a matter of fact, is unarguably the greatest in the kingdom. And yet the Bible says at the marriage supper of the Lamb, he'll be serving us. So there's never a time we pass servanthood. As a matter of fact, for most of us, it's something we have to work on to get to servanthood. Notice verse 5, so it was from that time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. I love this, for Joseph's sake. Notice this, because Joseph was such a good employee, because Joseph worked so hard for his boss, God blessed his boss for Joseph's sake. And note this, this was an ungodly boss. Potiphar was an Egyptian under Pharaoh. He didn't know the Lord. But he served him in such a way that simply for Joseph's sake, God blessed him. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. What a testimony for our boss to be blessed because of our lifestyle and our faithfulness to God. Can our boss say that about us? You know, are those that we work for blessed simply because we're serving the Lord? God says, if you serve the Lord, I will bless you. And so God says, and I'll bless those that you work with. It reminds me again of Jacob and Laban. Remember, God blessed Jacob as he worked hard while he was there. And Laban said, I can see that I'm blessed because of you. My household is blessed because of you. And so, again, the blessing comes on those that we serve because of us. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Now, notice, first of all, he left everything that he had in Joseph's hand. Potiphar so trusted him that he gave him his entire household. He said, you know what? You run everything. No doubt he even had control of the finances, you know, to be able to buy and trade and all the things that he needed to do. That's trust, especially for a slave. And again, it shows you the testimony that Joseph had built up, you know, when he just from serving and working here. And again, it brings us up to the question, you know, does our employer so trust us that he could leave the finances in our hand and realize, you know what, you're going to do the best thing with them. You're going to be the best steward possibly that you can be. This was the kind of man that Joseph was, to a trusted man. But notice, secondly, in the last part of this verse, that it mentions that Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Now, this sounds odd, doesn't it? You're reading a story about Joseph, and it's talking about all his accomplishments, and all of a sudden it said, yeah, and by the way, this guy was handsome in form and appearance. That means probably even in look, even in his physique. You know, this guy was just, he was built. He was a good-looking guy all around, you know? Now, why does it say that? You know, I don't think that God's just bragging on Joseph. You know, say, look, and I made him really good-looking too. You know, because it seems like, you know, the good-looking guy is always the one, or the good-looking gal that always has that position. That's not the case in Scripture. But in this case, the reason that God mentioned that was to show us the character that Joseph had. Because we're going to see in a moment that Joseph could have used every bit of this for his own advantage, and yet he doesn't. It's interesting to me that often today we see people using their looks and their giftings to advance themselves, don't we? hey, I'm good looking, or I've got this gift and I use it to advance. Now, again, there's nothing wrong in having certain giftings that we can use, and God will bless us in that, you know, to advance and do better in our work and all that. But there's a lot of people that really have no talent whatsoever. But because they look good, they end up being, you know, in the spotlight and the one that's lifted up by everyone. Why? Because they have these gifts and they're using these gifts, note this, that God gave them for self-promotion, not Joseph. Joseph was the man who said, you know what, I'm not going to promote myself. I'm going to live for the Lord. And we're going to see, it's mentioned here, I believe, to show us the kind of character Joseph had, that he didn't use that. He didn't take advantage of that. Now, again, in light of this, we need to remember, with Joseph being handsome in form and appearance, we need to remember the position that Joseph could have taken and the advantage he could have taken in this situation. Now, again, what do I mean? Well, first of all, he was a teenager in the prime of his life. And that means all the natural physical drives were in full throttle. He was a young man. Secondly, being handsome in form and appearance means he would have been naturally attractive to females. And no doubt he could have used this for personal gain. And we're going to see in a moment he has the opportunity to do that. Thirdly, he was far from home. And by the way, how could anyone find out anyway? You see, no one's going to find out. But what Joseph knew was Joseph had a recognition of the presence of God, which is going to be one of the steps we're going to talk about. But Joseph knew of the presence of God. He said, you know what? Though no one else knows, guess who will? I may think I'm alone in this steamy car and no one will ever find out. But guess who's here with me? Right in the front seat or the back or wherever I am. The Lord. And by the way, all the holy angels. The Bible says, basically, you know, hidden sin on earth is open scandal in heaven. It's before the throne to see. God recognizes and sees it all. And so we're going to see that he had an understanding of this. Combine this with the fact that an attractive woman comes onto him. He's probably in one of the areas of greatest temptation for a young man or any man for that matter, and all the situations that were in place. And so you can see the kind of man that Joseph was. This makes Joseph's decision to honor God in the midst of all this all the more impressive. He proves that his integrity and character was more than simply on the surface. He was who he was all the way down to the heart. And you know, it's been said that anyone can pretend to be anyone, but who you are in private is who you really are. You can put on a good show at church, you can put on a good show among your friends, even in front of your family, but who you are when that door's closed and the internet's on, who you are when no one's around and that magazine's open, who you are when it's late at night and no one can find out which channels you're clicking, that's who you really are. And we first have to recognize, this is who I really am, I need to admit it. And you know what? God is here with me and God sees every bit of it. I'm not pulling anything over his eyes. And Lord, you know it, I need to deal with it. Joseph was the kind of man who realized that, you know what, the Lord is here, and again, I need to honor God. And it was more than that. That was just one of the aspects and attributes that Joseph had. But again, let me just say in passing, how do we know that Potiphar's wife was attractive? Again, I think we can pretty much say with confidence she was attractive, or God would have never used this as one of his main stories in Scripture to show us how to have victory over temptation. I mean, if she was ugly, anybody would have run. Come on. That's the bottom line. We laugh about it, but it's true. It's like, you know, you want to do what? I don't think so. But if it's something where she's beautiful and his heart is picking up in pace and he realizes it's God or myself, that shows the character of a man.
Isn't it interesting that it only took a couple of chapters in after God created everything for mankind to find a way to rebel? This is human nature, isn't it? Throughout history, God has something great in mind, but people find loopholes and do things their own way, rebelling against God. Something that's striking in the book of Genesis is that God remains faithful even when mankind does not. God keeps his promises when it would be impossible for anyone else to do so. What an amazing God we serve. Pastor Mark has been working his way through the opening book of the Bible, and there's so much more to gain from it. Come to the Table is a radio ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're enjoying these teachings, head over to thewaymedia.net to hear more. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. While you're there, if you have any questions or comments about today's message, we'd love to hear them. Just look for the questions and comments link. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love for you to drop in and see us. You can find service times and locations on thewaymedia.net. Scroll to the bottom of the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. We have several service times that could accommodate whatever type of schedule you have. We're so thankful that you've joined us today, listening to Pastor Mark's thoughts and insights on the book of Genesis. There's more to learn and appreciate from the beginning of the Bible on. So come next time, grab your Bible, maybe a cup of coffee, and be ready to understand the great things God has for you to learn the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.